Yes, welcome back to World Football Daily on Thursday's edition of the show. Of course, we have the Europa League coming up tonight, but it was Manchester United against Real Madrid in the Bernabeu yesterday evening. And a man who paid very close attention to it indeed is our next guest, Mr. Paul McDonald, joining us from Goal.com to talk all things Real Madrid and their performance against Manchester United last night. Paul, how are you, mate? It's a pleasure to have you back on the show, and a happy Valentine's Day to you, mate.
Oh, thanks very much, mate. I'm great, thanks.
What are your plans for this evening, aside from watching the Europa League? Or is that what you and the missus are going to be sat down doing for a romantic evening tonight?
The missus is spending the weekend with her relatives, so I've got the television and the TV remote to myself.
Probably the best Valentine's Day gift a woman can give a man, that I am sure. Paul, let's get into last night's action in the Bernabeu. First and foremost, how does Jose Mourinho feel? How should he feel coming out of last night's encounter?
I think if you watched Jose Mourinho's body language and expression after the match, I think he was disappointed, yes, that his team didn't get a victory. Of course, and any first leg of any tie like that, you're looking to win with home advantage. But I don't think he looks too disappointed. I think he thinks that his team, given their excellent counter-attacking ability, can go to Old Trafford and get a result. I think that in the closing stages of the match, the last 20 to 25 minutes, his team pushed for a goal, yes, but they didn't go all guns blazing. They didn't throw caution to the wind. And I think that's because Mourinho is aware that his team can go away from home, and especially in Europe, and get good results. So, yes, his initial reaction was to be disappointed not getting the win, but I think he thinks his team are more than capable of getting goals at Old Trafford.
Did you think that United kind of parked the bus for that last 40 minutes or so slightly? They were happy that they got the away goal and didn't want to relinquish too much more else?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, if you're going to a venue like Camp Nou or Santiago Bernabeu, and you're playing a team of that quality, and you've got an away goal in the bag, I don't see any reason why you would continue to attack. I think that Ferguson got his tactics correct. I think the way that he lined up with Welbeck, who was excellent, who worked so hard with Jones in central midfield, performing a screening job, I think he got everything right. And I think that the fact that Madrid struggled to create chances in the closing spell of the match is testament to how well they defended. And I think that he knows as well that his team could have won it at the end. I mean, if you look at the chances that either team had in the second half, you would say that Van Persie's one where he hit the crossbar in, and then the following one that Alonso cleared off the line were probably the best opportunities. So, yes, his team defended in the second half, but they also had the best of the opportunities as well.
We were talking about Real Madrid and maybe the set pieces they could be susceptible earlier on in the week, and that's something that happened last night with Welbeck's header. How much do you put the blame on Sergio Ramos for Danny Welbeck getting to that chance?
Yeah, I don't think Ramos had a very good match last night. I don't think he covered himself in glory. He's been getting a lot of praise in Spain and elsewhere for his performances in central defence since he moved in from right back, but I think he really got found out last night. I think Welbeck out-muscled him for the goal. I think he was looking perhaps for Diego Lopez to come out and claim that cross, but the pace on the delivery meant that it was really up to Ramos to get the header away, and I think Lopez was caught in no man's land as a result of Ramos's defending. And I think Ramos even today himself admitted that Welbeck gave him somewhat of the runaround. So yeah, I think there's a selection issue there for Mourinho, not only for the second leg but perhaps for the oncoming Clásicos, because Ramos can play right back pretty easily, and I think given Varane's recent performances at centre-half and the fact that Pepe is now fit again, he might opt to move Ramos back out to the right and play Pepe and Varane as a pairing. We'll see what happens.
I was going to say, were you surprised that Varane played last night? He had such a wonderful El Clásico the other week in the Copa del Rey, but still, you know, 19 and very inexperienced at this sort of level.
I'm not surprised, no. I think Mourinho's got great faith in the player. I think that a lot of the things my French colleagues tell me, he's one of the standouts of this French generation, indeed one of the standout young defenders in Europe at the moment. And I think his classical performance in the first leg of the Copa del Rey only cemented what people like Mourinho and other high-ranking figures at Madrid think about the player. They think he's won very much for the future. And coupled with the fact that Pepe's been carrying an injury for the past month, meant I think it was a bit of a no-brainer that Varane should start, because I don't think Pepe could have made 90 minutes. Although he came on at the end, I think that the Varane didn't put a foot wrong. The only real incident that he was involved in was the one with Evra, which could have went either way. And I think he had a really solid display. And I don't think Varane's performance had anything to do with the fact that the Madrid only drew the game.
Now, you said that Sergio Ramos kind of admitted that Welbeck gave him the runaround. Cristiano Ronaldo wasn't able to give Phil Jones the runaround last night. Jones was almost impeccable against him. How important was that role that he played last night?
To be honest, when I heard earlier in the week that this was a kind of the tactical layout for Ferguson was going to be that he was going to play Jones in that role alongside Carrick, I had my reservations about it. To be honest, I've got my reservations about any kind of man-marking job. I don't think that Jones's display last night was all about man-marking. It was about whenever Ronaldo drifted into his territory, he made sure that the Portuguese couldn't get a decent touch in the ball. And the only time that Ronaldo really got away in the full match was when he drifted onto Evra for the brilliant header that he scored. So I think once to reiterate, I think Ferguson got his tactics right. I think that the application of Jones in that position was inspired. And I think that Ferguson can be very happy with the way he laid out his team.
Now, they seem to be targeting Raphael last night. Did you get that sense? And do you think that will continue to happen at Old Trafford if he plays in the second leg?
Yes, I think out of the Man United starting 11, you could possibly say that Raphael was the weakest player in the pitch. I think that Ronaldo was drifting across the pitch as he does so regularly, but he was, whenever he was isolated versus Raphael on that side, you felt that danger was coming for United. I think the young lad has improved this season. I think he's got better. I think Ferguson said as much, but I still don't think he's got the defensive discipline to play against somebody like Ronaldo. And I think they got away with it last night from that point of view. I think the rest of the back four played pretty well, but I think Raphael was definitely the weak element, and I think they'll definitely look to expose him at Old Trafford in the second leg.
Now, Ronaldo played well. Obviously, Di Maria had a lot of extra space with the focus and the attention they put on Ronaldo last night. What did you make of his impact in that game? Because he seemed to be the other driving force for Madrid.
Well, that was very much the problem last night. I think that Ronaldo was trying his best on one side and Di Maria was doing his best on the other. I don't think Di Maria's had a great run of form this season. I think he's only really had one or two really excellent matches. But I think he did well for spells last night. I think he's willing to try things. He's willing to get the ball in the danger area. He's willing to take people on. He works hard for the team. He worked so hard going back the other way last night in challenges when Welbeck and Rooney and Kagawa were going forward. I think it gives you that element as well. And I think both Di Maria and Ronaldo were let down last night by the lack of incision inside. I think Khedira, as much as he's improved with the ball at his feet, still looks lost when he's actually asked to make an incisive pass. I think that Ozil, even though he did see a lot of the ball and made intelligent runs last night, any time that he did get it, I think he made the wrong decision, particularly in the final third. I think that Benzema looks a stone overweight, and I think that Higuain looks short of confidence when he came on. So I think that in the central areas, Di Maria and Ronaldo were both let down by a lack of options last night.
If you were Mourinho, Paul, would you play Modric maybe instead of Ozil or even bring in, say, Kaká?
I don't think that Ozil's form was particularly the issue. I don't think he had a great game last night, but I think it was just a case of him making the wrong decisions. I think if you've watched Ozil over the past 4 or 5 weeks, he's in a rich vein of form domestically. I think he's been one of Madrid's best players since the turn of the year. I think he just needs to have more conviction in front of goal. I think there was one occasion where he was played clean through and chose to cut it back across goal rather than shoot. He just needs to have more self-belief in these areas. I don't think that Kaká's got that at the moment, and I certainly don't think that Modric would give you anything different. I think Modric is a very tidy player, similar to Ozil. I think Ozil's the one that needs to pick his game up and become the driving force and be more incisive in that final area of the pitch.
And you mentioned the two centre-forwards from last night. Who would you have starting in that next game? Because as you say, Benzema looks slow and off, and Higuain looks, as you say, like he's lacking confidence.
Yeah, there's a real problem at the moment. I think it stems from last season when Mourinho wasn't himself sure who his first-choice striker was. So Higuain and Benzema were both fighting for the jersey. And it really created a battle between the two of them that they were going head-on-head every week. Whenever each one started, they were battling to keep the other guy out of the team. And I think it led to the situation that Mourinho's now in, where he's chose to rotate both strikers as often as possible. And I think it's bred a malaise in both players. They know that no matter what happens, one of them is going to get a run in the team eventually. I don't think it's been good for competition. I think that, as I said, I think Benzema looks lazy at the moment. I don't think he's making the correct runs to help out the attacking players. I think he looks overweight. And I think when Higuain comes on, he's not looking like the player who was desperate to get in behind and get into goal scoring positions that he's been in previous seasons. So all of this combined makes it a really difficult decision for Mourinho. I don't think even at this point he knows who he's going to play in the second leg.
Paul, in general, because there's obviously been a lot of attention on Jose Mourinho going into this game, and we've never seen him smile in any of these pre-match build-ups. We saw a little bit of a smirk kind of last night when he and Ferguson were chatting at one point. How much does he want to get out of Madrid and get back to English football?
I don't think he's made any secret of it, to be honest. I think that it's the worst kept secret in Madrid that Mourinho will believe in this summer, regardless of what happens in this Champions League. It seems that the politics at the club and the problems with the senior players like likes of Casillas and Ramos have reached a situation where they can't be resolved. I think they're playing for the manager, but also playing for themselves, because they want to be the team that wins La Decima, that 10th Champions League title for Madrid. So I don't think they're doing it just for the coach. I think they're doing it for themselves. I think, yes, there was a degree of togetherness pushing towards this goal of winning the Champions League, but I don't see the same desire for Mourinho's players that he gave them last season when they were sweeping all before them in La Liga. And I think Mourinho himself has almost resigned himself to the fact that if he doesn't win the Champions League with Real Madrid, then it's not something that he's going to dwell on. I think he's just desperate to get into the next job now and get out of Madrid.
Do you think that's a major problem for Madrid, the fact that he's not maybe as emotionally invested in this club as he appeared to be when he won the treble with Inter, and of course at Chelsea, where he always looked so happy?
It's a massive problem. It's a problem that won't go away now. I think both parties are resigned to the fact that Mourinho's going to be there till the end of the season. He's going to oversee the remaining games, and then that gives Madrid the sufficient time to go out and find his replacement. But I absolutely agree. It's the secret to Mourinho's success in the teams that he's won titles with at Chelsea and Porto and Inter is the drive and the determination that he instills in the squad, and the fact that his players want to play for him and will do anything. They'll shed blood on the pitch for them. Highlighted none more so than when he was at Inter in that season where they went to Barcelona and defended for an hour with 10 men and gave the manager absolutely everything. And guys like Matarazzi, when he left, were crying into his arms. He doesn't have that relationship with the players at Real Madrid. And of course, if everyone's not pushing towards the same goal, like they don't seem to be at the moment in Madrid, then of course it's going to be detrimental to the success of the team.
It's been said that there's an argument that he has an obsession with being better than Barcelona. Do you think that's something that has actually cracked him almost at Madrid? The fact that he can't take this Madrid to the same heights that and plaudits that Barca receive?
Yeah, I don't think it's any secret now that Mourinho looked to be employed by Barcelona before they appointed Guardiola. He wanted that job and they chose to go a different route. Obviously we know how that turned out with Pep being so successful. But I think there is a degree of resentment towards Barcelona and Mourinho's mind because they chose Guardiola rather than him in that summer of 2008. And I think he spent his entire time at Madrid trying to prove to himself and everyone that he can create a team that's on a par, if not better, than this Barcelona team. And I don't think he would ever admit it, but I think he's resigned to the fact that this Barcelona team are one of the greatest ever, and I don't think he can sustainably keep a team ahead of them.
It's a very difficult job indeed for anybody to do that. Just finally on Real Madrid, Manchester United from last night, Paul, David De Gea with a magnificent save to deny Quantrao earlier on in that game, and of course with a great performance overall. Is this a game that he can use as a platform to really slam back at his critics who have said that he's not good enough?
Yeah, I think there's two elements to this. I think the British press have been unnecessarily harsh on De Gea. I think, yes, he has made some mistakes, but I think the mistakes have been allowed all too often to overshadow his excellent performances and his brilliant shot-stopping abilities. But yeah, if you ask me about his performance last night, yes, the save from Quantrao was fantastic. But all the other saves he made in the game are saves you would expect him to make. I know it's difficult to say that in an atmosphere like the one that was concocted last night from the point of view that he also used to play for Atletico Madrid. That obviously that's added into the equation. Yes, I didn't think he had a good game, but I don't think his performance was as fantastic as people are making out. I think he made one excellent save, but I think the rest of the saves he made were ones you'd expect a goalkeeper of his standard and his calibre to make.
Go on, Paul, sorry. No, sorry to interrupt there, mate.
Yeah, I think in spite of that, though, I think obviously he can take great heart from the praise he's been getting pretty much all across the British press that he was the one that saved Man United's skin last night. I don't think Madrid were quite as dominant as people are making out. I don't think De Gea made saves as difficult as people would like to suggest.
There were slightly flaky moments for him as well. He still struggled with a couple of those corners, especially in the first half. He flapped at a few punched balls.
It might sound cliche to say it, but he didn't get as many crosses piled on top of him as he would get in any normal Premier League game. I think that's not how Madrid like to play. They like to work through the wings and cut it into the feet of a striker, and they only go down the wings and cross it in when they're really deep in the opposition territory. It's just not the way they play. So he wasn't given as many opportunities to come out and claim crosses as he would in any other Premier League match. And I think the ones that the situations where he was called upon in that regard, I think yes, he did flap at them. So yes, I think we found out what we already know about De Gea last night. He's a brilliant shot stopper, but there's still that element to his game that he needs to work on, where he's not as convincing when the ball is put in the air as he should be.
Paul, there are two Spanish sides in action in the Europa League tonight. Levante taking on Olympiacos and Atletico Madrid taking on Rubin Kazan. Do you expect Atletico to sweep past Rubin Kazan fairly comfortably?
I think given Atletico's home record, I would heavily back them tonight to get a result and to take to Russia. I think we're into either 21 or 22 consecutive games now that they've won. Their home record is absolutely astonishing. And while their away record is not as good as we found out at the weekend when they lost to Rio, I think if they can take a healthy lead to Russia, I think they'll not only go through this tie, but they'll go deep in the competition as well.
What about Levante taking on Olympiacos, a side Olympiacos that we associate with European football and big nights? Levante, it kind of new territory for them.
The thing with Levante is that they continue to exceed expectations. I think every season that passes, they get tipped for relegation. And I think it's somewhat harsh on them, but given the confines of the squad and the resources at the club, it's a minor miracle that they always continue to defy reputation. I think that if they go deep in this competition, though, that you'll see that they're kind of tight squad, and they have got a relatively old squad as well, could begin to tire. So I think if they do go deep in the Europa League, I think their league form could suffer.
Paul, it's an absolute pleasure to have you back on the show here in 2013, mate. It's been top getting into last night's action with you, and we look forward to a great night of football tonight as well, mate.
Absolutely, always a pleasure.
Absolutely standing, outstanding to have you back on once again, Paul. Take care, man. Have a very good evening, and we will catch up with you very soon indeed. Paul McDonald there from Goal.com joining us here on World Football Daily, talking all things Real Madrid against Manchester United last night. David De Gea, the critics, as we say, have been kind of saying this is his game. This was an incredible night for him. The save with the feet, I thought, was a bit much, I have to say. And my problem was he was still flapping at corners.
Juice. Listen, the save with the feet, it doesn't matter how you save it. As long as it happens, and that.
No,
and
no, I completely get that. His job is to keep the ball out of the net, but I mean, you're a goalkeeper. You use your hands, right? It was mainly the crosses that I had kind of the problem with. The fact that he was still flapping at them, he wasn't getting to some of those corners, and really a couple of shaky moments still. But that save from Contrao, I mean, that was absolutely magnificent. One of the best saves that you'll see this season. We're talking about Ben Foster's great save the other night for West Bromwich Albion against Liverpool. But that save from De Gea, magnifique. We're going to take a very quick break here on World Football Daily. When we come back, we're going to be wrapping up Rafa's thoughts, of course, on Real Madrid against Manchester United, having a look at some of the other Europa League games this evening. We'll be back in just a moment.